From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Governmental Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and I'm here today with our Executive Vice President, Ivan Butts. How you doing, Ivan?
I'm doing fine, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. What you might notice is Ivan seems a little bit distant today. We are operating remotely. That is, we are not broadcasting from 1727 King Street, our national headquarters. Rather, Ivan is broadcasting from around 4 o'clock on the Capitol Beltway, and I'm operating from around 12 o'clock on the Capitol Beltway. We've sort of closed the office for a bit of time and out of abundance of caution because of the situation facing our nation with the coronavirus epidemic. Yeah, but you should know that we are still doing your business at the National Association of Postal Supervisors. We may not be doing it in the office, but we are doing it remotely. Both Ivan and I brought all of our work home with us, so I have paper scattered around the floor of my den, and Ivan, I think you're probably operating about the same way over there.
Yeah, I think we all are. Your resident officers and staff are all operating to the best of their ability at their homes for this period of time, as advised by the CDC. So the business of NAPS will definitely continue going forward. I'm at my kitchen table. That's my new desk for temporarily. Although I couldn't last. I did have to go into office today just to get some things.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have to maintain our distance from our respective spouses so they don't interrupt with because everyone is doing sort of work at home these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know. I can't remain distant from my spouse. That's not allowed. So,
well,
we're sheltering together.
Yeah, I hear Laurie in the background chuckling.
Yeah.
In any case, you know, Ivan, one of the situations that presents itself with is for Americans to come to the conclusion, as they have already, that the Postal Service is an essential governmental entity because it continues to bind this nation together despite the suggestion that we socially distance from one another.
Absolutely, Bob. This is something we have said. This has been one of our marquee talking points that we've discussed over the years, is how the Postal Service has constitutionally united this country together. And now in the period of time where we were just 13 colonies trying to struggle for our freedom, now to this time where we're dealing with a pandemic of it, and our brave men and women are continually to go out there and deliver America's mail. They all should be commended. You as managers who are running these day-to-day operations should be commended for the job that you're doing in the face of this pandemic event.
I want to sort of shift gears slightly. Like, our folks are in the front lines of helping it, as I said, bind this nation together. As you and I know, and we've messaged consistently, that our national institutions are premised on the consent of the governed, and elections are the sort of the foundation of the people exercising their right to give consent. Because as you and I know, and as we all know, all other rights are illusory if the right to vote is undermined. And that comes from a Supreme Court decision back in 1964. One of the issues that the National Association of Postal Supervisors has consistently advocated for is vote by mail. And Ivan, you've been on that fight for quite some time. Can you explain where we've been up until this point?
Well, you know, vote by mail, we have made kind of just a strong talking point as we went to our grassroots events at LTS, and then talking points that we made sure that our members used when they made home visits to legislative leaders. Again, vote by mail is proven to be the most secure way of securing a vote. It's proven to be the way to maximize the vote and live up to the creed of our democracy. Of the right to vote. So what we see now in this pandemic event is that vote by mail is more important now than ever. We're having these places where the human interaction is being minimized. 6 feet, this social distancing and all those kind of things are now starting to come into play. And we've seen just yesterday, Ohio, on Tuesday rather, Ohio defied a court ruling and canceled their primary. So, you know, because of this pandemic event that we're dealing with. So we see where the true value of the vote by mail could have for America. We knew what it could do with the percentages based on what we saw coming out of Oregon and coming out of Colorado. We saw what it could do as far as turnout percentages. We saw what it can do as far as security, actually the security of the vote coming from those states who have enacted a vote by mail, full vote by mail. Now we have a lot of states who have no excuse absentee balloting, which is, you know, I think something that really needs to be looked at. And Amy Klobuchar introduced a bill 3529 in conjunction with Brian Wyden from Oregon. Again, he was probably our champion talking about vote by mail when Oregon was the first state to go completely vote by mail. So we see. And what those things can do with that, just that, you know, no excuse absentee balloting, how effective that could be to our democracy, not just the issue of the Postal Service, but actually to securing our elections and for our democracy.
Ivan, let's just talk a little bit, or let me just summarize for our listeners about S-359, known as the National Disaster and Emergency Ballot Act. That was introduced on March 18th, which would have been yesterday. It would expand no-excuse absentee ballot nationwide. That means you could request an absentee ballot without providing any type of excuse whatsoever, though I would suggest that the pandemic is a good enough excuse, subjecting yourself to being online in a polling location, and also helps poll watchers and folks that are at the polling places protect their own health. But also, it would provide for self-sealing envelopes and prepaid postage paid for by the states that are administering the elections, and also provide for online registration to get your absentee ballots, as well as applying it via the United States Postal Service. It would provide also reimbursement to state governments to sort of implement this vote-by-mail activity.
Absolutely. I'm not sure the number. You said we're talking about 35?
S-3529, the National Disaster Emergency Ballot Act. And there are 25 co-sponsors right now of that legislation.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it just shows the very progressive thinking coming from Senator Klobuchar. That's kind of really in conjunction with what Senator Wyden has been preaching for now for a number of years about their, but it gives that incentive to the states to help offset some of that cost. Because we understand that was one of the issues, the cost factor of mailing the mail. So now we give some government funding to offset those costs for that mailing and do some of the wise things itself. Self-sealing envelopes and things like that to help keep America safe while we're going through this thing. And I think what we will find if we can move to the passing of this legislation, what we will find is that this is the way to go for the future through this pandemic event. But the way we can go through the future to ensure America's right to vote and interference-free.
You mentioned that Ohio decided to delay its primary date. On the same date, the state of Arizona and the state of Florida, for example, conducted their primary elections. And we spoke about this, Ivan. In Florida, 700,000 mail ballots were cast in that election on the Democratic primary. That's pretty substantial. And in the state of Arizona, 80% of the ballots cast were mail-in ballots. So this is not something that is a novel idea or a novel plan for voting.
Yeah, I credit some of that to the enthusiasm for Americans now to vote, that we're seeing those increase of these mail-in ballots, which again is a good thing, but not just for the Postal Service, but for America. We're seeing, even despite this pandemic event, you've seen record turnouts in Arizona and Florida mm-hmm. in their primaries from 2016. So, you know, it just kind of really kind of cognifies the need, and it shows that it's a process that can work. And not only that it can work, it's a process that America kind of wants to see. Because we're seeing this increase of these mail-in ballots is because this is what Americans want to do to be included in the vote. And they feel, and which we 100% agree, they feel like the Postal Service is the agency that can secure their ballot and get it delivered on time to their elected officials.
Yeah, let's talk about the Postal Service, because there's some new data that came out. Now, we're familiar with the historical data. That is, the Pew Research Center found that the Postal Service has a 90% approval rating, the highest approval rating of any governmental agency. Gallup organization has consistently found that the Postal Service is the most trusted federal agency. The Penniman Institute, which is the preeminent research center that is dedicated to privacy, data protection, and information security, has consistently found that the Postal Service is one of the most trusted entities in the country. But there's new data that came out from an entity known as Morning Consult, and it was a poll done on behalf of the American Marketing Association. And this is interesting. This is striking, Ivan. The most trusted brand in the United States, the most trusted brand in the United States is the United States Postal Service. 16,700 interviews were conducted, and they interviewed them concerning 2,000 different brands, and the Postal Service came number one, the most trusted brand in the nation. Ahead of Amazon, ahead of Google, ahead of PayPal, and of course, ahead of UPS and FedEx. And the key driver was trust and reliability. That is, if anything, is an endorsement of the Postal Service sort of being the conduit for ballots from between the voter and the boards of election. I'm certain that is.
Yes, and that's something, you know, you hear our members hear us say year in, year out. We watch these studies and we see them when they come out. And again, where the Postal Service is consistently ranked as one of the most trusted federal agencies by America. And that's because of the hard work of our managers and our leaders out there. And then the employees of the Postal Service, who we direct and guide in moving America's mail. So, you know, it's no surprise to me, certainly, that we're the most trusted agency or we're the most trusted entity in America, because the work that we do shows it. Our work proves who we are to America and what we will do for America. And if you want to really see that, look at our employees, our carriers, our managers are, you know, out there right now delivering America's mail in the face of this pandemic.
Yeah, and actually this morning, in this morning's Washington Post, and the Washington Post has historically not been the greatest fan of the United States Postal Service, in today's editorial, today, March 19th, the Washington Post actually endorsed the concept of vote by mail run by the Postal Service, which is also sort of like everything is sort of lining up now.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, that was, that editorial by the Washington Post was very good, very favorable. But again, I think it's just commentary on the op, right? We've been saying it for years. Our employees know it by the work that they do. Now it's the realization of just what the United States Postal Service is to the American public.
Just so our listeners also understand, right now there are five states that have vote by mail elections: Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Utah, and Washington. Then there are states that have permanent vote by mail absentee balloting. That is, if you register and elect to vote in elections, you could elect to do so permanently by absentee ballots, by vote by mail, and that's Arizona, California, Montana, Nevada, and New Jersey. The other states have a hodgepodge of different rules, and we look for consistency in vote by mail, and legislation introduced by Senator Klobuchar and 25 of her colleagues sort of sets the stage for a consistent policy of vote by mail. Our democracy in this year might rely on vote by mail.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, Bob. And this legislation hopefully will bring around some unifying process for vote by mail. You're exactly right. We have some states that allow no excuse voting, but they're not making it easy for a voter to go get that. I believe that we have 23 states in that category, which I hate to say, my home state of Pennsylvania is one of those. We need to change that. This legislation could change that and make it more accessible for America to securely and safely voice their vote.
Now, Ivan, I'm going to shift gears considerably, and we now have a little bit of distance from NAPS's legislative training seminar, where we had around 600 members of the National Association of Postal Supervisors come to Washington to lobby their members of Congress and become legislatively more attuned to the NAPS legislative agenda. And I'm just curious as to what your take is on the LTS and how it went.
Well, I thought LTS was very, very successful this year. I think, you know, we've done well year in and year out by maintaining our connectivity, a connectiveness with our legislative leaders by having our LTS going up to the Hill with our grassroots efforts. I was tremendously excited about this year's LTS with the introduction of our own bill, 6085, introduced by Representative Connolly, to address the consultation process for supervisors and managers in the Postal Service. So, you know, to me, I think we had every reason for the great turnout that we had at LTS. We had every reason to be excited as we go forward through the remainder of this year of getting out and making some local events, making appointments to see our legislative leaders in their home district, to talk about 6085, and not just 6085. Obviously, we want to talk about the MSPB bill, to continue to drive that for MSPB rights for all EAS, and as well as this bill introduced by Senator Klobuchar. We want to put that on our talking points now to kind of bring more emphasis and more light to that. But yeah, truly a great LTS. I thank everyone who attended. I thank our auxiliary who did just a tremendous job raising funds for our SPAC at that convention. I believe they raised over $38,000 was raised with the help of our auxiliary for SPAC. That's going to help fuel us as we go through this year of not just supporting our champions such as Jerry Connolly and Brenda Lawrence and those legislative leaders along those lines, but also some of the new leaders that are looking to come in that we feel could be potential champions for us down the road running for election in November. So it was just a 100% positive event. And while I'm speaking on that, I just need to congratulate you. You did an excellent job in pulling everything together and presenting our documentation. I believe our critique forums are going to show that the members were highly highly impressed by your presentation and your knowledge, and I congratulate you on that.
Thanks, Ivan. With that, so we'll end on a high note, at least on LTS. And I want to thank you for joining us remotely, Ivan. And we're going to continue with the podcast, whether or not we're in the field. So with that, until next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going